Good morning.
One thing.
Boy, get the youngins out of here before he starts preaching. Amen. And they were sitting on ready, too, I promise you. Well, this is true. This is true. Like, Pastor, you're supposed to know how to do that. Amen. A good-looking bunch, too. Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, I don't care if it's electronically or paperback. I prefer my paperback. Some others, like my wife, prefer her iPad. So if you have your copy of God's Word, go to 1 John. A lot of us are probably familiar with this passage. I preached it a few weeks ago, but it's a different sermon, I promise you. My wife said, did you pull one out of the bag or did you do one? Have you been studying? I've been studying at work. Thank goodness they give me enough time, and I sit in a corner office, so they hardly ever mess with me, so unless they need something. And so I have a little time to study and take care of some things. But I tried not to go to this scripture. I'll just be honest with you. Neil and I talked about this several years ago. I'm an exegetical preacher. I take the book of the Bible and I go from the first verse to the end verse, and that's the way I preach. I preach straight through it. And in the last 2 years, I've actually not been able to do that. I've been preaching for friends of mine and filling in for friends of mine and doing different revivals and different things. And, brother, it's hard. You know, you and I talked about that. And I'm like, man, you're more of a man than I am. And then the Lord put me in a position where I had to start doing it. Thank you. But it's kind of hard. But I didn't really want to preach this, but the Lord wouldn't let me away from it. So that's the way I know that that's what the Lord wanted me to preach, because he wouldn't let me away from it. That's usually how I know, because he won't let me away from it. So if you do have your copy of God's Word, I want to give you three ifs this morning, and I want to give you a little hope. Amen. There's hope in Jesus, amen. That's the three things. That's what I hope to accomplish this morning. Is I want to give you those three ifs and the hope that's in the ifs. So if you would rise out of reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, authoritative Word. 1 John will begin in the 7th verse. We're going to cover the whole chapter, and don't freak out. We won't take all morning, but we're going to cover the whole chapter. But I want to read this one verse, and we'll go from there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your time of worship. Father, for you drawing us to your throne this morning through worship. And Father, I pray that as we break open your word, Father, that you, as Brother Neil has already said, Lord, that you speak to us. Father, that we didn't simply come to hear somebody preach. We didn't come to church. Lord, we came to visit with you. And Father, when we visit with you, we know that we're changed. Amen. We've got to be changed in your presence. Father, that's what my prayer is this morning, is that we lay everything aside, that we sit at your feet, and that we learn from you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about fellowship and what it means to fellowship, what it means to fellowship one with another, but what it means to fellowship with a Father. The last time I preached it, I preached on joy. And the Lord just gave me a lot of joy out of it. Amen. Because my joy doesn't come from this world. My joy comes from the Father. And joy has nothing to do with my happiness. It doesn't. You know, we think it's happy. You know, I preached a sermon one time, and I mentioned I'd love to have a big, shiny bass boat. You know, I said, boy, I would love to have one of those things. I'd love to have one so I'd go fishing whenever I got to go fishing. Man, that would make me happy. I had a teenager come up to me after church was over, and he said that's the only thing he remembers, that big, shiny bass boat. I don't want you to remember that this morning, all right? I want you to remember that God is good, that Jesus loves you, and there is hope in him. Amen? And a big, shiny bass boat may bring you happiness, but it'll never bring you joy. Amen? So I want you to focus on that. I want you to understand that. And know that that's where our joy comes from, is from the fellowship with the Father. But there's some ifs to that. You see, in our church today, we try to make joy, we try to make fellowship about the church. We try to make it about who's sitting in the pews and who's not sitting in the pews and who's singing the music and who's preaching the word, or, well, sometimes preaching the word, who's at least bringing something to us, and we make it all about that. We never make it about fellowshipping with the Father like we tried to do this morning, amen? And that's where our strength arrives from, is fellowship with the Father. That's how we make it through every day. That's how we make it through every week, is to have fellowship with the Father and the Son. That's the way I make it anyway. I don't know about you, but that's the only way I can make it. Because I'm not a real patient person with some folks that don't do things the way they ought to do it. I work on computers during the day, and I think I told you this when I was here that Wednesday, and I work for a construction company, and trying to get an electrician to understand how the computer works is almost a nightmare. Half of them can't even turn them on, much less use them. So it's just, and I've told the same guy, it's every week. Every week I get this phone call on Monday morning. Dano, it's Roy again. Every single week. I done forgot how to put my time in this computer. Can you help me with it? It's every week, and my patience is running out. And he knows it too. He'll say, Dano, he said, I'm sorry. I said, I know you hate me by now. I said, I don't hate you, Roy. I just wish you'd listen. Amen. We need a fellowship with the Father. That's how we make it through each and every day. You see, if I could put my hands around Roy's throat sometimes, I would. But because my Father loved me and forgave me of my sin, forgave me of my shortcomings, I had to remember that each and every day. A lot of times, several times a day, because he loved me. And it's easy to live by the world's code. It's easy to live by what the world tells you is right, and it's hard to live by what God tells you right. Amen? Amen? One of the first things I want you to look at, and one of the first things that John addresses in this scripture, and he addresses in the other book of John, right at the very first, he says, that which I have was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen in our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled and concerned the word of life, the life that was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness to, and declare to you the eternal life which is with the Father and was manifested to us. That's which we have seen, heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. The first if I want you to understand is for us to have fellowship with the Father, for us to have fellowship with one another, Jesus must be real to us. We don't preach that anymore. We don't preach that Jesus is real, that our very life depends on Jesus and our relationship with Jesus. If you look at that scripture and if you look at how John breaks that down, he says, we've seen him. From the beginning, we've seen him. Now, some commentators will tell you that beginning is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and some will tell you that actually that is from the beginning, Genesis 1:1. Regardless, Jesus was from the beginning, and from the beginning of his ministry, he preached the truth. And he stood for the truth, and that truth is that he loves you, and that he wants you to have a relationship with you. He wants you to have a relationship with him so that you can walk in fellowship, so that you can walk in joy. John breaks it down. He said, not only did we see him, not only did we see his ministry, we handled him. And he says, look, in verse 1, he says, we have seen with our own eyes, and we have looked upon. Now, I want you to look at those two words, looked upon. You know, most of us just pass through those two words. Well, okay, I see him over there. You know, he's over there. Or he walked by. We looked upon him as he walked by. That's not what that's talking about. John says we gazed at him, that we took time to look at him, that we sat in front of him, that we gazed upon him, that we focused on him. Look, if you're going to make it through today, you got to focus on Jesus. That's the first thing that you got to do, is you got to focus on him. You can't just glance at him. You just can't glance by him. You got to focus on him. John said we focused on him. We know who he is. We've been with him. We've gazed upon him. But and he says he's become manifest to us. And that means to become known, to be plainly recognized, to show one's self-appearance. In other words, not only did they gaze upon him, he was manifest to them. He became real to them. Y'all, if you don't get in your scriptures, if you don't get into the Word of God, if you don't fellowship with Jesus Christ on every day, he will never be real to you. He's got to be real. See, our churches today think that it's all about church membership or baptism or whatever it is. It's not. It's about becoming a member of God's family, and that's the only way you can do that is if Jesus is real to you. Now, there may be somebody who's not saved in this building. I want you to understand that this is Greek to you. Speaking of Greek, Neil went to seminary. I went through seminary too, and I had this Greek teacher. She asked me how many stories I was going to tell this morning. Can't help it. And I wasn't very good at Greek. It was intermediate Greek, by the way. He was just talking about Greek to me. I mean, I'm trying to take notes. Hold up. And Randa's not in here this morning, so she can't attest to it, but she would, I promise you. I said, Doc, I said, I'm not very good with the English language, much less Greek. You want to slow down and back up. I can't do that. That's the way we look at Jesus a lot of times. But we never take the time to back up, slow down, and take a look at it. You see, if we want to make it, if we want to be the Christians that we should be, if we want to be the people of God, we want to be in the family of God, we got to slow down. And we got to make Jesus real in our life. You see, if we want to have fellowship with God, Jesus has got to be real. He cannot be some play pretty. He cannot be some thing that we pull off the shelf when troubles get tough or times get tough. We cannot pull him off a shelf. He's got to be real every day. To be able to go through those times of trouble, to be able to go through those bad times in life, if he's real in your life, you will have fellowship with him, and he'll carry you right through it like it's nothing. Times can get trouble. They can be tough. If our faith is not real, we cannot have fellowship with the Father. Jesus must be real to us. If Jesus is not real, we don't have real faith. And there's no way that we can have real fellowship. The second thing I want to bring to you this morning in verse 5, it says, "In the message which we have heard from him, we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You see, today truth is relative. If it's okay with me, it should be okay with you, right? Isn't that what our world tells you? You just look at the court cases we got in our country today. If it's all right with me, then that means it should be all right with you. Regardless of what the Word of God says, regardless of what the real truth is, if it's all right with you, then it should be all right with everybody else. That's not what the Word says. In fact, the Word just told us if we say we have no sin, if we have no fellowship with him, if we walk in darkness, we have no fellowship with him, and the truth is not in us. We can't fellowship with him without the truth. So first of all, we must know that Jesus is real. We must know in our heart that he is real in our life. The second thing that we must know is that there is darkness in our life, and that if we're telling lies to tell people, "Oh, well, this is the one I love." Brother Neil, you probably love this too. You go witness to somebody, you can go out in the community somewhere and, you know, and invite them to church. Actually, hopefully, if you're going door to door, you're inviting them to Jesus and then inviting them to the church. Because you're not going to win them to church if you're not going to win them to Jesus first. Amen? This is what they'll say. "Oh, Pastor, I already go to church. I belong to so-and-so church." Okay, so? That's usually my response. So? What do you belong to the family of Jesus? We'll worry about where you go to church in a minute. That's one of the greatest lies that Satan has on this world today. Is that if your name is on a roll somewhere, that you're going to heaven. Bible says, if you walk in darkness, you have no fellowship with the Father. That's what it just said. You cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with the Father. Jesus must be real. He must be in our life. He must be all about our life. Second thing, and actually the second if, that was part of the first if. The second if is, in verse 7 it says, but. One of the greatest three-letter words in the Bible to me. Because Jesus usually changes things with that but, amen. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if Jesus is real, and if we walk in the light, that's the hard part. Jesus is very real to me. He's very real to me on a daily basis. How hard is it to walk in that light, amen? That hurt, don't it? When we go to work, when we go to school, when we go in our houses, when we on the way to church and we got three kids and none of them want to do what they want to do, it's hard to follow Jesus on the way to church without knocking their head off. Amen? Amen. Amen. She got youngins. Amen. It's hard to walk in that. But, you know, first he says, Jesus has got to be real, but we got to walk it. We can't just talk it. And walk means that we walk every day. Bible says that we take up our cross when? Daily. Not every once in a while, not on Sunday, not on Wednesday, but every day. What does it mean to take up your cross? It means that we got to take it up and we got to do something with it, amen? We can't just leave it hanging on our shoulder. We got to go about each and every day. We need to take our cross of forgiveness and grace with us every day. That means that we must walk with him every day. If we truly want to change this world, if we truly want to see people get saved, Jesus has got to be real. And we got to start walking what we're talking. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. It is what it is. And I put the blame on the church. The church as a whole, not necessarily this church or any specific church, but the church as a whole. Because we've made it about membership. We've made it about preacher. I want to come down here. I want to sign this card. I want to become a member of this church. I want to get dunked in this water up here so that I can go back, sit in the pew, and do absolutely nothing. Amen? Am I wrong? You know, that's the mentality of the church today. That's the mentality of us today is that we walk down an aisle, we tell the preacher we want to sign a card, we want to get dunked. And some water, let me just go and tell you, that water in that baptistry up there doesn't save you, amen. We get dunked in some water, and then we want to sit sour and soak on a pew somewhere. And that's not what Jesus called us to do, amen. He called us to walk in that light. He said, follow me in that light. You got to get off of your sanctified behind and start doing the work of Jesus. If we want to have fellowship with him. If we want to walk with him. It says, but Jesus changes everything. If we fellowship with him, one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we know he's real, and if he's real in our life, and we walk with him, he cleanses us of our sin. Man, we ought to shout about that. I don't know where you came from, but I know where I came from. I know the sin that I lived in. I know the devil's hell I was headed for until about when I was 17 years old. I was sitting in a church and a man was preaching a revival. And I didn't hear a word he said. I just knew that Jesus changed my life in that moment. And it's never been the same. Amen? And I pray to God it never changes. I pray to God every day I wake up, God changes something in my life and I get closer to him. Every day. Jesus has got to be real. We got to walk with him every day. When we walk with him, Jesus cleanses us. Look at verse 8 with me. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Y'all ever walked in church and met the holier than thou's that sat on a certain pew? It sounds ugly, don't it? I'm getting ugly up in here, I guess. It's got quiet, Brother Neil. You ever walked into church and thought, ooh, I don't belong here? Let me tell you, the church should be one of the most inviting places on earth. You see, it should be a place where the Holy Spirit dwells. The thing that gives us peace beyond all understanding. Christ should live in our church. And I'm going to tell you, Christ didn't hang out with the church folk. He hung out with the sinners. He went after those who he knew that he could change their lives. He didn't hang out with the deacons. He didn't hang out with the preachers. He didn't hang out with the music ministers. He hung out with those who needed him and those who would listen to him. A lot of times in our sanctified churches, we don't listen to him anymore. We think we got it all figured out. We think we got it all made. And we don't listen to him. Praise God, I know this church ain't like that. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you, brother, if you can't preach after that, you just can't preach. Let me give you a few. I wrote some of these down. I want to share some of these things about darkness with you. You see, darkness is hostile to the light. If we're walking in darkness in our churches, then that means the light's not coming forth. Amen. It's hostile to the darkness. Darkness stands for the ignorance of our life. And when I say ignorance, the unknown of God and God's ways. Darkness stands for the immorality and the Christless life. Darkness is unfruitful. Darkness is connected with lovelessness and hate. Darkness is the home of our enemies of Christ. But light brings what? Fellowship. Amen. You see, when people walk into our churches, they see people who are just as messed up as them, but they know that the ones that are in that church got some kind of relief, and they need to know why. And we need to be telling them, I'm standing here today in my sinful self because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we need to get off our sanctified pew and welcome those that's coming through the back door who are just as messed up as we are. You see, again, I don't understand. I'm a little different, I guess. You see, I have to remind myself every morning when I get up of whence I came. Now, I wasn't a bad kid when I grew up. I was a mischievous kid, as you probably can tell. I stirred a lot of stuff and played a lot and didn't do any schoolwork except for what Randa and Kim did. They did most of my work. You see, I wasn't a bad kid. I worked hard. Randa will tell you that her daddy used to haul hay, and I used to be her main hay hauler. Man, I can't tell you how many square bales of hay that I chunked during the summertime when I was in high school. This is going to sound crazy, but I kind of liked it. I didn't have to think. I just did it. Amen. But I think that's where we are as Christians, is that we forget that we were headed towards a devil's hell, regardless of whether you're a good kid or not, regardless of whether you're a good person or not. Without Jesus, you're still going to bust the doors of hell wide open. Without that fellowship with him, there is no hope. There will be no fellowship. You see, the Bible tells us that at one day, there's going to be this thing called the marriage supper. I'm getting chilled just thinking about it. And I'm going to have, guess what I'm going to have? I'm going to have a little card on that table. It's going to have my name on it. Amen. Not because of who I am. Not because of what I've done. But because of what Jesus has done for me and through me. Amen. You see, I'm going to be sitting there with my brothers and sisters in Christ. White, black, Hispanic, it don't matter what it is. And I got tickled at this, I think it was this last song we sang, and talking about giving the Lord praises. And do y'all realize time's going to stop when we get there? As we know it. We're going to worship him all day long, every day. It's going to be fellowship with him for eternity. And it's going to be nothing but love and peace and joy. And ooh, that should give you chills, amen. To know that our Father loved us enough that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Because there's no way that we could make it because we never was good enough. We were never going to be good enough. And Jesus knew that, and he knew willingly he came from heaven to earth to give us the opportunity to fellowship with the Father through his sacrifice on the cross. And he wants you to have that same fellowship. And that's the only way that you're going to get that fellowship is through Jesus Christ and walking with him daily and repenting of our sins. Now, that's where I was going when I got down here. Whew, that was a rabbit. I sin on a daily basis. Well, you're the preacher. So? It's my sinful nature. It's who I am. Now, I'm trying my best to empty me of me so that he can have more of me, amen? Right. But you see, I truly believe that we have told this lie to people that if you just come down here and do all those things I talked about earlier, that's all you got to do. That it's over with, that your ticket has been stamped, that you can just move on. You see, if we look at that next verse, it says, if we what? Confess. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's talking to the church. He's talking to church people. He's saying that we need to repent. That we need to repent of our sins each and every day. So the first if is Jesus, if he's real to us, if we walk with him, and if we daily repent of our sin, we can have fellowship with the Father. We can walk with him, we can have joy with him, we can do what he asks us to do, not in our own power, but in his power and what he does through us. You see, we got to yield ourselves to him. And y'all, that's hard. You know, I grew up with a father that he could fix anything, and he, bless God, he gave that to me. You know, I don't know how, but he did. You know, I pretty much fix anything. He always had this saying. He said, I can fix it two ways. Somebody bring him a washing machine, somebody bring him a tractor. It didn't matter what it was, they'd bring it to him. He said, I fix it two ways. He said, I'll fix it where it'll never work, or I'll fix it where it'll work again. One or two. That's the way he was. Bless God, he passed that on to me, amen. But he was rough. He believed in discipline. I can probably count on one hand how many times he whipped me. And I can remember every last one of them. It was a lifelong experience. I thought he had hands that long. You know, I thought he was 8 foot tall. But he instilled in me that it was my responsibility to take care of my family. He instilled in me it was my responsibility to do my job. He instilled in me those values that we want our children to have. But in doing so, it's hard to surrender to Christ. Amen? It is. Especially for anybody that's been taught that, especially for anybody that's been done that way. It's hard to surrender me to him because he wants control. Guess what I want? Control, amen. I like to control things. Just ask her. Don't do me much good, but I like to control. You see, that's why I have to confess every day. Father, remove me so that you can be in there. Take that darkness that's in there so that you can replace it with light. So that I can have more fellowship with you. I'll never forget, and I'm drawing this to a close. We close. We went to a music thing up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We like concerts, and we went up there, and there was a bunch of them there, Casting Crowns, and a lot of them were there, and we were there with another couple, and it was a great concert. Boy, we was just loving it. Boy, it was nice, and it was up in Tennessee, and it wasn't so hot. I found only one place that's hotter than Meridian, Mississippi. That's anywhere in Louisiana. Amen. I've been on many a mission trip in Louisiana. I thought I was going to die every time, but anyway. About halfway through, a group came up. Y'all know him, Big Daddy Wee. And y'all, if y'all have never seen him in concert, they don't do a concert, they do a worship service. And they allowed God to use them to change the atmosphere of that whole park. And there's thousands of people there. And this is going to scare some of you Baptists. A wind came through that whole place. And y'all, that was the rush of the Holy Spirit. It came through that whole place, and it changed the complete atmosphere of the whole place. Not into something that was crazy. Not into something that was unusual, unless you had never felt the Holy Spirit, the rush of the Holy Spirit. But into a time of just absolute worship. Just sitting before Him and praising Him and His presence being near. You see, that's what I long for. I long for that. And you should too. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should long for that. But there's three ifs that has to make that happen. Jesus has got to be real. We got to walk daily with Him. And we got to repent so that that darkness can be replaced with light. If you look at chapter 2, and I'm going to close this scripture. It says, "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not of ours only, but of the whole world." You see, there's hope in Jesus Christ. You see, those ifs and that fellowship brings about hope. Our world tells you there's no hope. I'm here to tell you today there's all the hope you ever want in Jesus Christ. If your life's a mess, you need Jesus. Let me back up. My life's been a mess for years. But I have peace in my Father. In the midst of chaos, there is peace in Jesus Christ. There's hope because He's sitting right next to the Father. And you know what He does? The devil tells me, boy, he's raunchy, he's nasty, you don't need to fool with him, he's terrible. And Jesus goes, "Hey, Father, that's one of them I paid for." You see, I have hope in that. I could shout in that. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with me and has everything to do with what Jesus did for me on the cross. You need hope today. You need strength today. You need fellowship with the Father today. You need to come meet with Jesus. Amen. If your life's in turmoil, the only way you're going to get peace is in Jesus. The only way you'll ever have hope in this lost and dying world is Jesus. Let's pray.